What you're going to hear today from Zimzam Global, I personally am blown away by. But I want you to know, IBC family, we have no ownership, but we have partnership. All the ownership belongs to God. It's what He has done. In 1994, the Hemp Hills and the Lotzes were sent out from here with great commission purpose. They went to New Guinea and we went to Brazil, but we ended up in Missouri. It's this crazy Holy Ghost train ride thing in Missouri. We came back here for a year before we went to Missouri, and we got all kinds of teasing from many of you. Some of you were ninth graders and 10th graders, and now you're sitting in here. And you teased us to no end about going to the Ozarks. And while we're in the Ozarks, we got to meet with and partner with Dave and Carolyn Myers. And in the end, well, not in the end, but part of that journey was on October 1st, 2013, in our living room in Camdenton, Missouri, Zimzam Global was started officially on that day. It was a work of God. And we had a sense, and you know, it was in partnership still with IBC. We had come back and met with elders and pastors, and they said, go for it. If that's what God is leading you to do, then just go for it. And I'm telling you, when we talk about this journey of faith and following and in obedience to what God calls you to do, there are times you just get to stop and look and see the things that God has done and just blows your mind. There are other times you go, Lord, what are you doing? We're not seeing much happen. That all of those things take place on this ride with Him and His journey. But now this many years later, we're going to hear a report today of the things that God has been doing through the ministry of Zimzam Global. It is not about Zimzam Global, but it's about what He is doing. And in IBC, we have been an integral part, this church, an integral part of this ministry. Not to pat ourselves on the back, but to say, Lord, we've been obedient to Your call in this. And as we hear what You have been doing, we give You all praise and all glory. Hallelujah. To be used by the King of Kings for His purposes and for His glory, there is nothing better on a personal level, but also on a corporate level, on a church level. IBC family, that is now our legacy. That's what God is doing. And so we worship as we hear what God is doing. Through this ministry today, may your hearts be filled with gratitude because of what God is doing and that we get to continue to be a part of that. Praise God. I want to invite up my good friend, Dave Myers, that I've known many, many years of working and ministering together. Pastor Aaron and I, there's a number of you in here who have actually been on these trips with Zimzam Global, and that's just another aspect of our partnership together. And so, Dave, welcome back to this home away from home, brother. Before you come up, though, we're going to do a little video, aren't we? All right.
It is always wonderful to be back here, and we are so grateful for the opportunity to just share with you guys what God continues to do through our amazing partnership. And this is really not about just Zimzam Global. This is about IBC and Zimzam Global and really what we are doing together. And you saw various pictures up there. You saw Pastor Aaron and Tom and others of you. We couldn't get everybody in there, right? But what you just saw, we hit in about 1 minute, four continents in about 1 minute here. But I'm very, very thankful for the IBC family and each of you friends here that we're partnering together with just all the things that God is doing. And so our team here has been on we're in our fourth week, 1 month of a 5 week tour and speaking across the U.S. And so we've been out in the Midwest from Illinois all the way to Florida to North Carolina to Ohio to Indiana, 2 days to recover in Arizona, then up here for a long weekend, and then we got a week to finish up in Arizona. And it's been a wonderful privilege to travel with PG and Francis. But this is like being home. This is like being home. And so great to just see so many of you say my name, and I was like stuck. I can't remember the name here. I can't remember the name. But I remembered some of you. And so what we want to talk a little bit here in my short time, and then the guys are going to come up and talk a little bit more what's happened in their respective areas, is just, again, 3 years ago we kicked off our theme, God's Big Idea. Last year here we talked about God's Big Story. And today this theme that we've got in the fall is God's Big Plan from the beginning. And so as Tom insinuated here, as Aaron talked a little bit about it, this is not our idea. Zimzam Global is not, oh, these three guys got together and came up with this really cool idea. No. We just stepped into his plan of how he wants to play out what he started thousands of years ago. And so I want to just talk a little bit here this morning about God's big plan from the beginning. Just a little bit here. And how God continues to just bless the nations through his people. And it all started in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. And if you have your Bibles, you can turn to that. We're just going to take a few minutes to talk a little bit. And I want to just remind us here what God's heart is from the start. What God's heart is from the start. And he begins to show us a lot of things, even before chapter 12, but I want to really focus in on chapter 12 here. God's heart from the start, and he says here in chapter 12, verse 1, the Lord had said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. So he didn't say to Abram, stay. He said, go. And that was the model that he was laying out his heart from the start for each one of us here even today. And what does he say in verse 2? I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. And you know what? I love it, and I think most of us do. We love a good plan. We love a good plan. Whether it's building a house. Yesterday, we had the opportunity to go see Aaron and the gang there at his house. And when we pulled into the house, we're like, man, this is an amazing plan. Look at this driveway, the front of the house. It's also, we rang the doorbell, and it's like, well, I know they knew we were coming at 10. And it was dark in there. No one was answering. And I'm like, what in the world? And all of a sudden, this voice came on the door ring bell. It's like, hello, who is this? And I'm like, that's not Aaron. That's not Abby. I was just one house too early. And so we tried to get into the neighbor's house, and I hadn't been there in a year, and I thought, wow, if they made progress on the outside of the front of this house. So whoever lives on the left side of Aaron, that was us. That was us. And we got to his house, and we're like, okay, all right. All right, it was beautiful. You can see a plan coming to fruition there. And so everyone loves a good plan, whether it's building a house, launching a business, a ministry, or preparing for a trip. Without a plan, things can easily fall apart, right? The Bible shows us that from the very beginning, God has always had a big plan, a plan to bless, a plan to redeem, and a plan to bring hope to the world. And praise God for his heart from the start, which was a plan that he was thinking of us. Those eternity past, to present and future. He had us in mind, and that is an amazing thing. So we're just going to briefly just trace here, just for a few minutes, from Genesis 12 to Romans 12. Can you believe that? Genesis to Romans here in about a minute. So we see here God's heart from the start, that his plan began with this promise. God calls Abraham to go. And you know what? He wasn't 25 when he called him. He wasn't 50. He was 75 years old. Abraham was 75 when he left Haran to Canaan. And so let me just say this to you guys. Some of you here that might be 70 and 80, God's just getting started with you. Okay? I think you've got an opportunity here in this fellowship, in this body, to go. I know it's true. So he calls Abraham to go, and he has three amazing promises for him here. There are great things for us to be reminded of today. He says here, I'm going to call you to be a great nation, and that became Israel, right? You're not only going to be a great nation, but you're going to be a great name. And so Abraham's faith was remembered worldwide. Not only are you going to be a great nation and a great name, but through you, you're going to be a great blessing to all the nations. So from the start, God's plan wasn't just for one family or one nation. It was for the entire world. So what's the big point of this? God's big plan always had the nations in mind. His heart beats for the world, and we see that, God's heart from the start. And we see, as he progressed through the scriptures here, that his global mission was from creation to who? God's plan was fulfilled in Christ. The ultimate blessing for each one of us here, promised through Abraham, came true in Jesus, right? Galatians chapter 3, verse 14 says this, he redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus. So, the call of Abraham, the obedience of Abraham, leaving at 75 years old, was the foundation piece here for what, through his seed, Christ was going to be born. Through Jesus, salvation is offered to all. God's plan of blessing is for every tribe, tongue, and people that we heard about this morning. So what's the point of that? The cross is not an afterthought. It is not an afterthought. It's the centerpiece of God's plan. And so God's heart from the start, his global mission was from creation to Christ. And he has one plan. And his plan is, and you see it here, make disciples that make disciples. I see it here. I see it on your website. His plan is to make disciples that make disciples. And the best way, the only model that he has given us, is to make disciples that make disciples, that multiplies this congregation into growing this church and multiplying it and planting churches. That is his plan. That's it. That's what he had in mind from his heart from the start, from creation to Christ. The best way that that was going to play out is that this congregation continues to make disciples and plant new churches. And I've heard that there's something like that going on here. Matter of fact, I heard that Aaron here was using some of the principles of Zimzam Global. Not all of it, but some of it. And it works, my friends. It not only works in Africa and Asia and Latin America, but it works here in North America. And I want to tell you a story just a little bit about that from another church in just a minute here. But what is God asking us to do? In this crazed culture of what is going on, not only here nationally, but internationally, what is he asking us to do? Every one of us. There's no doubt in my mind. There's three things that come to my mind. And it's these three areas here that I want to talk about. But before I get to that, recently, we were speaking at one of our partner churches just like this in Florida. And my college roommate is the senior pastor there. And so you know about us here that we feel like one of the best ways to multiply a church and to plant new churches is through the catalyst of children and youth. You know that. We love to see that happen in here. So my friend George, who's the pastor in Florida, said, Dave, I want you to come and speak. And we're pastoring this church in the Villages. And I said, the Villages? And this was about 10 years ago. And I said, well, George, you kind of know what we're all about. Like, this is through children and youth and so forth and so on. When I've been to the Villages before, it's this huge retirement community, in case you don't know, 40 square miles northwest of Orlando, with nearly 120 to 150,000 people with 70,000 golf carts in the Villages. And he said, yeah, I don't know how it's all going to work, but Dave, we don't have one kid here. I go, what? We don't even have any people your age. I'm like, what? Yeah, the average age of people of our church here in the Villages is like between 70 to 90. I was like, I'm the kid? Yes. I said, you know what, George? The principles are the same. They will work. I don't know how he's going to do it, but God's going to continue to use you to bless you. And so I went and started speaking there about 10 years ago. First time I went. No joke. They didn't even need the lights on in the auditorium because all of the gray hair lit the whole auditorium. And it was only about 125, 130 people, about the average age of the size of the church. And so we went there, started to just do our thing, teaching, speaking. So fast forward 10 years, we spoke there. You guys ready for this? At all three Sunday morning services. All three Sunday morning services. And they're exploding with their young adults and families there. And their children's ministry at the Villages. And I said, wow, how is God doing this? He said, well, we've continued to grow so much that the Villages here, people have to service them, gas, food, so forth. So people are coming in here to work, and they're bringing their families. They had to build two large schools in the Villages just to support the Villages because of the service people, and they're bringing their kids. The nations are going to the Villages. And when we drove up to the church there, we saw this on the right side of the church, and I'm like, man, that reminds me of the Partridge Family bus. What is that? And we went and looked at it and started talking to Pastor George and so forth and so on. He goes, Dave, we've outgrown our facility for children and youth. I go, what? He said, yeah, and it was so expensive to add on to the church and to build a building on and the permitting and everything. Someone had this idea, let's buy this bus. And we're going to put it by the church. We're going to hook electricity, water, AC into it. They gutted the inside of it here. And this is the expansion of their children's ministry at the Villages. It's called the Adventure Bus. And they haven't opened it up yet. It's getting close to that. Why? The kids cannot wait to go onto this Adventure Bus at the church in the Villages that 10 years ago there were no kids. And they said, you know, maybe we should move this behind the building here. I said, no, leave it out there. Because people are going to go like, what in the world's going on at this church? This is really cool. And all the kids absolutely love it. And so this is part of their expansion. $15,000, that's all it cost them. Someone stepped forward and says, I don't want this to come out of the budget. I'm going to donate half of it here. And that morning they had 10 of the 15,000 when we were there already provided for it. So I'm not saying here at IBC you should get your own adventure bus, okay? But God is doing mighty things here. And so Francis is coming up because he's reminding me I've got about a minute left, okay? And that's okay. But here's the three things I wanted to say to you guys here. In this day, in our crazy culture, in what God is doing and what is going on, I'm just telling you, God is on the move. He is lighting up the lives of young people. We've seen it across the U.S. We've seen it across the globe. Agnostics, those that have been ignoring the church, have nothing to do with God, are weeping as they wake up in the morning, not realizing something is going on in our hearts, and they're coming to faith in Jesus. And so I want to say this here to us. As we continue to make disciples and plant a church, we have got to continue to take the mantle of being an evangelist. Being an evangelist. We're unashamed of the gospel. We're boldly sharing Jesus and the gospel with others. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. He's also asking us in this crazed out culture to be an apologist, ready to share and defend our faith with love, humility, and truth. 1 Peter 3. And then he's calling us, each one of us here, to be very strategic. Is our lives lining up with being an evangelist, being an apologist? Why? To make disciples that make disciples. What's the ultimate purpose of that? To plant churches. So to be a strategist, plan and act intentionally to spread the gospel and make disciples. For us, in Zimzam Global and in our partnership with IBC, this means planting healthy, multiplying churches so that every child, every family, and community can experience the transforming power of Jesus. And so how is that supposed to play out? I want to just remind us, going from Genesis 12 over to Romans 12. This is what God has instructed us, how we are to live our lives in Babylon, in a crazed out culture, what's happening locally and globally. And I love this verse here, these verses in Romans 12, 9 through 16, and I'm going to read them, so hang tight, Francis. He says to us here, hey, IBC, hey, Dave, PG, Francis here, what you guys are doing in the Zimzam Global, in some of the most difficult, hard-pressed areas globally, he says, hey, don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who are weep. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And don't think you know it all. Just think what would happen if we lived out this passage on a daily basis. You talk about making disciples that make disciples. You talk about the opportunity of planting new churches. If we live this out, that will happen. That will happen. And we see it happening globally. And so, as I just finish this up here, Francis, our vision and our mission and our strategy, this is a reminder for you, some of you that may be new here and maybe forgot what we're really doing. What God birthed, as Tom said here over a decade ago now, was our vision for a church for every child, which drives our mission to multiply healthy churches among all peoples through children, youth, and families. Right there is be an evangelist. Right there is be an apologist. And then our strategy of how we play this out to train leaders, to plant new churches, and disciple children through a holistic ministry engagement. Why? I'm telling you, folks, these guys are going to talk about it. The nearly 40% of the world still without access to the gospel. And it's our responsibility, it's our job. God is calling us out here to continue to rescue them and bring the gospel to them. So, would you guys help me welcome our amazing colleagues here? And would you help me welcome Francis Kataka, our Africa director?
Good morning to those that may not remember my name. My name is Francis Kataka, and what you see on your screen is my family. This is a family picture that was taken some time back, and if I have any supporters and any friends that really inspire me to continue serving in ministry. It is the family you see before you, and above all, my wife, who has been a true partner in the gospel and a very, very good advisor. And so I'm really proud of that, and I thank God for the gift of family. Well, I want to totally agree with the scripture that Dave has read, that is Romans chapter 12, verse 9 to 16, that if we truly live that scripture, then this world definitely would be a different place. And that is what planting churches is doing. Whenever we introduce that scripture, whenever we introduce a church in a community, then this scripture comes to life and lives are transformed. So let me give you a story about where I come from, that is Africa and specifically Kenya. But I'll start by giving an overall picture of Africa. Well, according to the Joshua Project statistics, Africa has a population of 1.5 billion people. And 26% of this population is unreached, meaning that there are not enough local believers or churches to evangelize their own people. Or in other words, the gospel has not taken root among them through indigenous churches. So across the continent, the population above is witnessing a steady and strategic southward spread of Islam, moving from the stronghold of North Africa into central and southern regions. And you can see on the map, the red part is more Christian dominated, but the upper part, the northern regions, are more Muslim dominated. So the spread of Islam is among many others, among the greatest threat of the spread of Christianity in Africa. Well, violent Islamists, extremism, and political Islam pose the most direct and lethal threat to Christianity in parts of Africa, as I've said, especially in the Sahel region and countries with mixed population. This is not a sudden wave. It is a deliberate long-term movement happening through a mix of religious propagation, political influence, military pressure, and in some areas, violent extremism. In countries like Nigeria, Mali, Burkina Faso, Niger, Chad, and parts of Cameroon, extremist groups with ideological ties to Islam, fundamentalism, have taken control of vast territories. Groups like Boko Haram in Nigeria and Al-Shabaab in East Africa specifically target Christian communities through raids, abductions, and mass killings. And nothing captures this better than a recent news article titled "Christian Genocide in Nigeria, 3 million Believers Under Siege," as reported by CBN News. Life, and I quote, "Life is fragile and dangerous for Christians living in the northern and middle belt of region of Nigeria. It is a growing crisis that involves more than 3 million Christians who face persecution because of their faith. Islamic terror groups are behind the vicious attacks. Making matters worse, recent studies on persecution show that atrocities committed in Nigeria account for nearly 70% of Christians killed globally. End of quote. In some countries, like with mostly majorities, Christians face state-sponsored discrimination and persecution. For example, in Mauritania, death penalty for converting from Islam is on the penal code. In Sudan, the Islamists are using starvation as a weapon, of war against Christians. The call is you either convert or to Islam or starve. Again, in Sahel, in the Sahel area, is extremist groups like ISIS and Al-Qaeda exploit regional stability, poverty, and weak governance to create a void that can fill with their radical ideology. This leads to cycles of violence that severely disrupt Christian communities. Well, these extremist groups are working to eradicate non-Muslim religions, to seize political power and control, and to impose Sharia laws whenever they can. It's not just about territory. It's about hearts, minds, and souls of the entire continent. So if this is left unchallenged, it could lead to Islamization of the historically Christian regions in the continent, which making this not just a political issue, but a spiritual crisis requiring urgent global Christian action. And I'm so glad of the Zimzam Global, because Zimzam Global believes that church planting, when done wisely and holistically, can counter both militant Islam, that is the violent extremism, and political Islam, that is the ideological control and manipulation. And this, not through confrontation, but through transformation. And the church is the biggest object of transformation in Africa. Church planting is a peaceful counter to militant Islam. This is because militant Islam thrives where there is fear, poverty, isolation, and lack of hope. Planting churches, especially in the marginalized and neglected regions, build social resilience, and they can become center of peace to counter radicalization and bring about community renewal. So planting a church is very key. Planting a church is also an answer to the political Islam in that it responds not by political struggle. A church plant does not respond by political struggle, but by bringing spiritual and moral presence in the society. And that's the spiritual and moral presence in the society can bring a big change and can counter the ideologies that lead to extremism. And so the more healthy churches are planted, the bigger the impact to counter the spread of Islam. Well, looking at the map of Africa, the red dots that you see represent where Zimzam has conducted a training. And so we are reaching those area already. The extra dots that you see in blue, they represent areas where we have had somebody come from to one of our training in their neighborhood, in their neighboring countries, and we've conducted the trainings to them. And so we are, through our belief that church planting is the answer to some of the things that are happening in our continent, planting more, doing more trainings helps us to equip more people who go out there to plant churches that will disciple kids and grow the kingdom. Well, if I come down to East Africa, Kenya, I would say that we have conducted trainings in Kenya in 20 counties out of the 47 counties that we have. And when we look at the coastal part of Kenya, where there is a dot there, we have lots of Islamic, it is a Muslim-dominated area. And we have a group called Al-Shabaab that continues to target Christians in communities in East Africa, again, through raids, abductions, and killings. In Kenya, most of the attacks occur at the coastal region, that is in Lamu, Garissa, and Mandera. In response, Zimzam Global has launched its church planting trainings along the Kenyan coastal counties as a peaceful countermeasure to growing influence of Islam. So this our initiative emphasizes planting healthy churches. Well, I'll give you a testimony of I'll talk about one of the people, the person we've trained. One of the person we have trained, and his name, her name is Shalee. And Shalee is a lady. She comes from the city of Mombasa. And we trained her in our training, and we also added another training to her to help her go through, to help her become a facilitator. And owing to her effectiveness, her denomination has made her in charge of 42 churches, leading and mentoring 55 leaders and discipling over 300 children every week. Now, as I conclude, I know my time is up. I want to bring you greetings from the Rema Lifeway Church in Lakisama, of which you played a key role at its start. Since the start 6 years ago, we've been able to start 5 more churches, 3 of which we did last year. I have seen lives transformed, communities strengthened, and hope restored, one church at a time. We are looking at the screen. We are grateful for your continued support. As you can recall, our church was destroyed after heavy flooding collapsed our neighboring perimeter wall, which in turn crushed our tent structure. For the next 13 months, we had no church building, and we were gathered in my own home to worship and fellowship. It was a difficult season, but God was faithful. And today, I want to thank God. Even that was the day that we relaunched the new church building, where that was as a result of some of the help that came from you. So I'm here to say thank you, and thank you so much. So that was the day of the launch, and today I stand here to say thank you again from the bottom of my heart. Your generous support helped us to rebuild the first phase of our church building, and because of you, we have hope again. Thank you, and may God bless you richly.
Thank you, Francis, for that wonderful update and report. Once again, I'm happy to be back in this family, and just as I'm reminded of the Romans, which says, how can they hear without someone preaching to them? How can anyone preach unless they are sent? This church has been a backbone to this missions that is happening around 3-4 continents, and thank you so much for that. Again, my name is not busy. It's Paiga gang mai tui ngam long. It's a long 7 syllables. If anyone wants to learn, I'll set up a table there and teach you. You can sign up. I came from the northeastern part of India called Manipur. And I know I don't look like more of a typical Indian with that beard and turbans. We stay close to Myanmar border. So we have a story that I grew up hearing that we come all the way from Mongolia, China, and then, you know, cross border, and then we live there. And we don't know that. But until, maybe I will share this one interesting story. Until I had the opportunity to go to Mongolia to minister for distribution of the Bible. And we have a partner, a mission partner called Bibles for the World. I work with them, and I was there. And then I asked them, I grew up hearing that we are a Mongoloid race, people from Mongoloid. How do you identify? And one of the leaders said, well, we have not the DNA or anything, but we have a mark, which we call it as Mongoloid blue dots. And if you have that, you're one of us. So he said, when a baby is born, you'll have a blue dot around here on the bum. And they call them as blue Mongoloid blue dot. I called my mom and I asked whether I, because they said when you grow up, it gradually disappear. So I called my mom and I asked, did I have that kind of blue or dark dots around here? She said, yes, you did. And wow, so that's one identification mark. And then I have a daughter who is 2 years old now. I called my wife to send a picture of my baby's bum to prove that we are from Mongolia, and it did. But right now I live in New Delhi with my wife and a daughter who is 2 years old. 2 years old and 8 months. Delhi is a city with 34 million people. Delhi city, yes. And along with the cows, probably 35 million. So you will find cows in the streets, and it's interesting country. And I invite all of you warmly to come and visit our country, stay in our place. So I want to see hands who were here last year have heard my story. Okay, almost most of you. Yeah, thank you. So that I don't want to repeat some of my testimony, but I was called by God in a very wonderful way. My mom lost a son while he was just weeks old, and she was crying to God, give me another son and I will give it back to you. And God sent me this beautiful young man. And then there's a story. She didn't share that story to me until I was 20. When I was in my secondary school, she sent me for my secondary, and then I was up there. I fell gravely ill, tuberculosis, grade 1. I got healed. My parents said, you have to go back and become an officer. Grade 2, I fell sick again. I went back, got treated. Doctor said, once you come to grade 3, you'll never be cured again. And I was on the bed, and my mom and dad came, sat next to me, and then we were praying to God, and my mom shared that testimony she made to the Lord. And we all prayed together, and that very day she prayed to God, Lord, if you heal my son this time, use him wherever you want to use him. And then that very same month, I was miraculously healed, and from there on, no sickness anymore, no tuberculosis, I'm healed. And from there on, I went to a seminary, and I continued serving the Lord. And it was in that seminary, a group of white, big, huge people came to give trainings, and it was a church planting training on church planting, and their vision was a church for every child. That drawn attention in my heart. I continued to serve with the children, serve with 2,000 children, 3,000 children, lead vacation Bible schools, and continue doing that. And not only that, I attended 3-4 times of their training. And eventually they hired me for the coordinator for South Asia. Now, so I lead trainings in South Asia with which is about 6 countries. And in South Asia, persecution is never ending. It's every now and then. Just found out that 84% persecution happens in India itself. Persecution, not the murder thing, but the persecution. Like, and just a few days ago, the intensity of the persecution went even to that level where, so we attended one conference in Orlando called Mission Nexus, three of us. We met this president of the Joshua's Project, claimant. He said, 2 days ago, one pastor in North India tried to Google and search the statistic of the unreached area Christian percentage in Joshua's Project. The government tracked him down and jailed. That is the intensity right now. And also we were in Indiana Church, one of the church that we visit. The pastor told us, one, they have a mission partner in India called Mission India. The leaders from India had to call the pastor in Indiana and said, please remove the post that we have posted in 2014 in Facebook. In Facebook, they posted some particular church-related stuff. 2014. And that leader from India called the pastor to delete that picture because the government is now tracking. So that is the intensity. And also, for some of the leaders like Aaron and Tom, they came to India to a place called My Place. They did the training. And most you might have heard of the violence that started just 2 years ago. It was massive violence between two communities. But eventually, they are targeting the Christians. 180 churches burned, 60 people displaced. Our graduates has to literally leave their homes and run for their lives. And Aaron knows some of them. Now the situation is better, but they cannot come back to that place. It will take decades for that to heal. So, and many other stories are covered, like not to be shared out in social media or any news. Pastors been beaten, a church been burned down. So many things are happening in South Asia. But also where there is persecution, there is the glory of God more, you know, shown in that area. The power of the cross is more powerful even through that. So just for you to have clearer picture, this is the percentage of the Christianity. So that thing here is India. That 2% is Nepal. Now, India has a population of 1.4 billion. Bigger than the continent of Africa. 1.4 billion. Out of that, only 2.3% is the Christianity percentage. The Christianity percentage in Nepal is 2%. Our training have reached India, Nepal, and Bangladesh here, which is 0.3%. Bhutan, 0.2%. Pakistan, 1.2%. Sri Lanka, 7.4%. That is the percentage of Christianity for a clear picture. And Zimzam has done trainings here in India. This like orange color here, that is the area where we have done the trainings. And the blue dots are, yes, like Francis says, that are our leaders' presence there who are working. And I will be sharing a story of these two dots here. And Nepal, we have done quite a bit trainings here. So in South Asia, we have conducted almost 16 trainings. And I do not put up the map for Bangladesh and Bhutan, but we have 2 graduates in Myanmar, 1 graduate in Bangladesh, and another one in Bhutan, and then Nepal and India. And we haven't reached Pakistan. We have a connection to go to Sri Lanka, probably next couple of years, and we have stronger connection in Bangladesh to do the training. So here are the statistics of what we have done. And 57 churches, you might be thinking, wow, that's a lot. Yes, it is. And when I say church, it's not this building church. We're talking about cluster of worshipers in small villages. They start a house church. So 57 of them are already being started. Praise the Lord. And every now and then baptism is taking on, you know, in that area. And if God speaks to you, the most needs that we have is funds for the training. But if God speaks to your heart, you might be thinking, and I would bring that story, you have a place to really give and, you know, do a lot of things in this area. I will be sharing one of those. And here is a story. So we have one graduate in Bangladesh. This is him, the one standing taller. He is the guy who graduated, and this is his son. So they literally took the manual of Zimzam Global and teach leaders, just few bunch here in the jungles. They teach them, take notes, share about church planting. And so when I say a church, this is one picture of a church. The place that I said, I will tell you a story, that is in Jharkhand. They are considered the lowest caste, remote, even considered untouchable. Our graduates, three of them, continuously work on it, and then they meet people, they share gospel. And initially, when they come together in the house, there we don't have a big house, just fit enough for five people to squeeze in and sleep. So if there are more than 10 believers, it's impossible to come together in the house church. So they would go out and find open space and worship together. And this is a picture of them worshiping under the mango tree because it was very hot. So they would gather here and worship God. In spite of rain, if it rains, they would wait for the rain to stop and then get back to worship God. And like I said, if God speaks to you, we talk to the leaders and ask them how much it would cost to build a roof for them. It doesn't cost $20,000. It is $5,000 to $6,000 only to put a roof for the church. And we have several of them which we can work together. This is one of the ZZZ impact. Zimzam Global Impact, through the leaders, church has been planted, people been discipled, baptism taking place every now and then. See, here is one where they have to find an open space to come together and worship. And here is another graduate who have done our training two times. And what they did was, we teach this in a manual that you can start a mission by reaching the children first, by teaching them. So he went back to his place. There is a brick factory. There are lots of people working there. They have children. And these children will not go for school because they don't have money. So what he would do is he would go evening there and by the roadside set up a board and then teach them tuition, like literally alphabets, A, B, C, and then let them know how to at least read and write. So this is a pastor. And out of that, two families come to the Lord through this guy. So, yeah, a lot of stories are there, amazing stories that God has been doing. And here is
one. 1, 2, 3.
You will not know what they're saying. They're saying, Zimzam Dhanyabad in Nepalese. That means, thank you, Zimzam. Here are some of the leaders who have taken the trainings and who are ready to go out and plan new church, make disciples. And I believe I will close this with a word from Matthew chapter 9. It says, Jesus went through all towns and villages, teaching in the synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowd and he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd, then he said to the disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. We as together as a church, IBC, as a partner, we can do great things for the Lord. It's right there. It's just that the laborers are few. Here in America, in South Asia, Africa, Latin America, we can do great things together. Amen.
Way up here, and we'll be wrapping this up here because I know that we've got food coming at the potluck, right? I don't want to mess with that. But also, you guys have had a significant part. You've heard from Africa. You've been over to Africa as a church. You haven't been to India yet, but through Tom and Aaron and others. But also your impact that is happening in Latin America through Ecuador. And just this past year alone, there's 1,000 new children being evangelized and now going into weekly discipleship every week because of what God is doing together in our partnership in Ecuador. We had the opportunity to train 60 new leaders and 10 new churches in the process of being planted in Ecuador. And so my wife and I and my son were just recently there a little over a month ago, and we went into some of the villages, some of the hope zones that we have there, where you guys have been there in the past, where you put together the all kinds of things. You guys did like some crazy stuff down there, amazing stuff. But Tom was down there sweating up a storm, helping put together that playground, two playgrounds, eyeglasses, sewing, all kinds of things going on. And all of those communities say thank you. They are doing very well. And this is one of them. They said the leader would like to meet with us. And so we went around the corner, and there they are. It's like a group of them waiting for us there in the middle of the jungle, right? And so we sat down with them to just hear what God is doing in that area. And it is amazing. Everything that you heard, like Francis, PG here, it's happening in Ecuador. Matter of fact, now, Tom and Aaron, we have over a dozen new trainers now that have been trained, and we've got our eye on a couple of leaders that are going to be leading the ministry across Latin America. And so we were down there, and my second son, who these guys know, Brian, he's our high-functioning, developmentally disabled son. His heart is like really huge. And I said to Brian, and my wife said to Brian, he's right sitting in the middle of us, Brian, please don't promise anything. Brian, we know that you love to help people, but please don't promise anything. Oh, why? I said, well, because we got to talk about it, think about it, pray about it. Okay, Dad, okay. So we were just listening to what God is doing through our ministry together with them. And they said, we want to take you just right over here, 100 feet away, and we have cleared out the land here. And I said, wonderful, great, you know, and I'm looking at Brian. Don't say anything. And what did you clear the land out for? Well, this is where we're going to put the playground. And Brian is like trying to step forward towards him, you know. And then over here is we're going to be the new church plant. And I said, wow, wow, wow. Who's going to do this? You are partners. I was like, wow, okay, Brian, please don't promise anything, I'm thinking, you know. And so to put in the playground, to put in the new church, it's about $25,000. Thank God he didn't say anything. So we got back to our room. We talked a little bit about it and said, Brian, we're going to have to pray about it. And he said, Dad, I work on facilities at our church, and I know people. I go, okay. So sure enough, we got home from this trip, and he went into the cafe, and he started talking to one of his friends who's a doctor. And he said, hey, Doc, and I still to this day don't know who it is, would you pray with us? Because we need to put in this playground, and we need to put in a new church here. And he said, yes, when Brian's not real good with numbers. So the cost was going to be $25,000, and Brian said, Dad, I talked to him. I got it all laid out. I'll take care of it. You don't need to do it. I said, what'd you tell him? He said, I told the doctor all we need is $2,500. And I said, Brian, I love your heart. I love this, but you're off by a zero. He goes, oops, but Dad, you'll fix it. So I said, well, I don't even know who it is, but maybe I can talk to him. He goes, well, I'll just text him. So a couple days later, we were headed off to somewhere. We were at a stoplight. I said, hey, Brian, did you ever like text the doctor? He goes, yes, Dad, I got it all worked out. I told him all we need is $65,000. And I said, Brian, you're heading in the right direction. You're heading in the right direction. I love that. So we're still working on that. But just looking ahead here with you guys, this is what we're trusting God for, asking him to do this year into next year, is equipping 4,000 leaders, reaching and discipling 100,000 new children, planting 900 churches. You're like, that's ridiculous. That's like over the top. It is. But it's amazing what God is doing. And so just that alone on the trainings, just the trainings across Africa, Asia, Latin America, and some stuff we're doing in the U.S., is a cost of like $617,000. And you guys know with the economy issues we've been going in, right? Our major gifts have been down because of things that are facing us. So would you pray with us about that? Just pray with us about that. That we could continue to just pray together, give to the ministry, partner together, and just share all that God is doing. And our team thanks you for having us. Thank you for your continued prayers and your partnership. And our entire global team can't thank you enough for all that you're doing here. And so we'll be out at the table in the back. And back there, we've got these free keychains here. Okay, you guys can grab one. And we've got some other things for you as well. And we've got one of these things here. We've got this $100 Kenya shilling bill. And we got this $100 India rupee. And you can get this from us and as a reminder to pray for us. People have gotten these, put them in their Bible, put them in their prayer things to pray for us. And all you have to do in getting this $100 bill is exchange it with a $100 U.S. bill. That's it. That's it. And you can have it, and people go, well, how much does it cost? I said, it's priceless. It's priceless for eternity. Tom, thank you.
We heard a lot, but I heard one thing. Did you say huge white guys? It wasn't talking about me, Dave. I'm a little offended right now. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. He's doing amazing things. The challenges are massive. We got to spend some time yesterday and talked about, and Francis was testifying to the fact that as a younger man, he always was convicted that he has to go and save the whole world for Jesus. But through the course of time, God taught him, saying, no, Francis, you just minister where I put you. And I love that because all of the big numbers are mind-boggling. And yet God has called us not to address all the big mind-boggling things because none of us can do that. We cannot do all that. But we can do the thing that is in front of us. And that's what we're called to do, to minister in whatever way God has called us to be obedient. Pray, to minister, to share Christ with those across the street or next door or whatever it may be. That's what we're called to, and praise God for that. It's like relieving that our task isn't all that huge, but even then sometimes we're fearful. But God has called us to do that, and we love that. And so, Zimzam Global, thank you for the challenge today. We appreciate that. We're gonna do a couple of things here as we close in worship. We want to give an opportunity to respond. One of the ways we're going to respond is we're going to sing How Great God Is, How Great Thou Art. We're going to sing that in response in worship. But we're also going to have an opportunity to give. We want you to have an opportunity to give. We talked to these guys beforehand. Hey, we'd love to be able to do a love offering for you guys. And so, IBC family, we have an opportunity to do that. We have ushers that are mobilized right now to come on down to the front. And we're going to go ahead and take an offering while we sing. If you write a check out, if you happen to have brought your checkbook and would want to, feeling the Lord calling you to write a check, make it out to Zimzam Global. The monies, the finances that we collect right now are going straight to Zimzam Global. They're not going through our office. It's just a gift that we are giving straight to them. And so as we collect that offering, know that that is that as God leads you in that. I'm going to pray and ask God to bless this and give thanks that He has blessed us so much already. Would you bow with me? Lord, you are an amazing God in so many ways that we cannot even count the ways. And yet, Lord, this morning we have seen ways in which you are amazing and what you are using, Lord, your people to bring your gospel through the planting of churches. Healthy churches, multiplying churches, Lord, that champion children that are so precious to you. Lord, I thank you that we are part of a church that does exactly that. And so, Lord, as we respond to what we have heard today, as you, Lord, are laying upon our hearts whether we ought to give, Lord, that's between you and the giver. And anything that is given, Lord, we ask you to bless it and multiply it and use it, Lord, in the things that we have seen today to bring forth new leaders, new churches. Lord, all for your glory. Because, Lord, you are not willing that any should perish, but that all might come to repentance. And, Lord, this is one of those tools that you are using to bring people to repentance, to find hope in you, Jesus Christ, our Savior. And so, Lord, thank you for what you're going to continue to do. And, Lord, what a privilege it is for us to be a part of that. And so, Lord, continue to guide all of us, direct all of us. Lord, whether it's our neighbor, whether it's giving for something that is way far away, or here locally, even our own church plant, Lord, you are moving in our midst, and we marvel. But Lord, we're here to serve you. It's a privilege. We are humbled. Continue to guide us. Help us, Lord, to be sensitive to your leading. But Lord, all of this is about you, and it is for your glory. And so we say thank you, all praise to your name, King Jesus. In your own precious name we pray, amen.